I know when you're the person on the other end, it feels like I called, I want them to come here right away, but we do have to prioritize because they have very limited resources.
I think if I were to do it again, I would invite people in to be more equity partners in the enterprise. It's like, you want to join? Great. You know, your piece at the beginning is X percent, and every year you stay with me, it grows higher.
That's Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best, followed by Pete Delaney, Seattle entrepreneur and communications expert. Welcome to this edition to Voices of Experience. My name is Paul Casey, your host and producer. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best addressed the Seattle Rotary Club recently. She spoke about the Seattle Police Department's efforts in fighting crime and how they are combating homelessness. Now, combating homelessness may be too harsh, or maybe it's better to say how they are assisting the city in this situation. Today, I'm not playing her speech, but I am playing the Rotary Club members' questions. I think you'll hear from the questions a lot of frustration in how the city and maybe the county and the state are handling homelessness. Pete Delaney is CEO of Delaney Communications. I asked him what he would do differently if he were starting a business today. Now, if you're thinking about going into business for yourself, I think you'll benefit from hearing his insights. Dan Buettner, National Geographic Fellow, will join us briefly and talk about the myth of exercise. Doesn't mean you can sit on the couch all day, but I do think he has some very interesting insights on that subject. Last week, I asked listeners to express their views if they have seen improvements in the homelessness situation over the last year, or is it about the same as it's always been, or is it getting worse? Several people did respond, and I will broadcast their views today. Now, for this question of the week, Seattle has taken a beating over the last several years about its quality of life, and homelessness is a big reason why. There's also discussion of gridlock, cost of living. What I'd like to ask you for this week is, where have you seen Seattle improve? Has it all been negative? Let me throw this into the mix, where I think Seattle has improved a great deal. Earlier this year, the tunnel opened up and replaced the viaduct. I think that has been a magnificent improvement. I think you can clearly see how nice the waterfront and the downtown are integrating together. So call 425-653-1166 and leave your thoughts on that. That's 425-653-1166. Back with Police Chief Carmen Best in just a moment.
You're listening to Voices of Experience with Paul Casey. Visit voicesofexperience.com and take a 5-minute self-employment quiz. That's voicesofexperience.com. The higher you score on the quiz, the higher your prospects for success. One more time, visit voicesofexperience.com. All one word.
Currently, what I'm seeing in the streets of Seattle, especially North Seattle, in the shoreline, between Shoreline and the U District, has been an increase in the number of tents and people living under trees and underpasses in the past 2 years. I haven't seen the number decline. I've actually seen the number increase. That's been my experience and observation from where I'm living. I don't know what is driving this increased migration and movement of individuals in Seattle, but from my point of view, it's increasing and not getting better. Thank you.
Carmen Best, Seattle Police Chief, recently addressed the Downtown Seattle Rotary No. 4. Chief Best spoke about the challenges facing homelessness and crime in downtown Seattle and other concerns that were expressed during the luncheon. The following are some of the questions that were asked during the presentation by Police Chief Carmen Best. We'll start with a question from former Washington State Supreme Court Justice Faith Ireland.
And I want to put to you a question that's always put to me, and that is, why can't the police just go and arrest these people who are camping along the entrance to I-90 and other places where they are a distraction to drivers and where you can see that conditions are horrible and dangerous?
Yeah, well, I don't know which area you're talking about, but some of that area isn't even in our jurisdiction, if you want to know the truth about it. Some of it is Seattle property, and some of it is WashDOT property. So there's a jurisdictional issue. But beyond that, you know, one of the things that we have to do, and there's a lot of rules around, you know, what we can and cannot do. So first of all, when we arrest people, every attorney in the room will, you know, we have to have probable cause that they're committing a crime or doing something to make an arrest. And it has to be an arrestable offense first, before we do that. But also, when we're dealing specifically with homeless, the issues are around, you know, the crime part of it. You know, it's just not a crime to be homeless. Some of the acts that homeless people do are crimes. Some of the acts employed people do are crimes. And those are things that we will arrest for. But in and of itself, that's not enough. And before we move people off of encampments, we have what's called MDARs, where we have to post and give them 72 hours notice, offer services, and make sure that they have the ability to have a place before, you know, we move them along. So we know how important it is, and we know how much people really care about, you know, what it looks like and also how we might be able to help. But that, I'm gonna tell you point blank, that does not fall on the lap of the police department. That falls on the lap of everybody. These issues are so much more complex than anything else I've ever seen. So some of the people that we are addressing, and you know, I have 12 officers assigned to our navigation team, which deals specifically with, you know, encampments. It's under the Human Services Department, so there's social workers and outreach workers and everything else, and police involved. But, you know, they have to follow those rules along the way. But some of those people are drug addicted, some are mentally ill, some are both, some are criminals, and they're preying on them. So there's all sorts of things happening there that we do our part to take part and assist. And we go to a lot of calls, you know, to address these issues, but we have not found the answer yet. So I think that's why there's new legislation and all sorts of things occurring from a whole host of areas to try to help us do a better job. Because we haven't found the answer, we in Seattle. And I gotta tell you, it's not just a Seattle issue. Drive to Portland, or to San Francisco, or to Los Angeles, or to San Diego, or to Long Beach, and you're gonna see us West Coast cities are all struggling with how we're going to address this in a humane way. That deals with some of these really complex issues. I mean, I wish I could just tell you this is what it's going to be, but it isn't. I will say this, though. When we see the tents blocking the sidewalks, we are trying to make sure that we have teams of folks go out and move them from blocking the sidewalks so that people can have access way on the sidewalks. That is one of the areas that we are covering.
Chief Best, thank you very much for being here, joining our club. Congratulations on your leadership and especially on the crime reduction statistics you gave. So good work.
Thank you.
You mentioned that this is a rough city to work in. I suspect most of us don't think this is a rough city. So beyond what you've said today, what is it that makes Seattle so? And then what is it that we might do as individuals or as a club to support the officers who are protecting us?
Yeah, I don't think I use the word rough. Somebody roll the tape. but I do think, I said we have our challenges, for sure, and we need to support the men and women of the department. And, you know, some of that is just going to be investing in the department, right? You know, investing in, for example, a North Precinct. You know, we built the precinct in 1984 to house 250 people. We out capacity of the precinct is, you know, so it would be great if we had a place at that was serviceable, you know, very serviceable for the officers and would allow us to grow. The North Precinct by itself would be the second largest city in the state. That's how many people live in North Seattle. You know, when you add University of Washington and all the folks up there, it's like 400,000 people. You know, so we should make sure that we invest and make sure that the officers are able to respond to and appropriately get to calls for service in that large geographical area. That would be one thing. We finally got a contract, yay, because the officers were working for 4 years without a contract. Can you imagine on an officer's wages buying 2018 items at a 2014, you know, paid, you know, those types of things send a message to the cops about whether you support them or not. So these are the things that we would ask people to help us with, that we make sure that the environment that people work in is welcoming and shows that we support them.
Thank you for your service and for the service of your fellow police department.
Thank you.
My question really focuses on the downtown core of Seattle.
No one ever asks about downtown.
And I am just, you know, and that's, you know, we see Macy's closing.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like many here, I'm an original Seattleite.
Yeah.
That's hard to take. I know that there's factors regarding the big box businesses are all having problems. But I have to think that part of the problem is the crime in downtown Seattle. And whether customers are not coming to downtown because of it. What are we doing and what can we do to alleviate some of the crime in the downtown core?
Well, I gotta tell you, we are working really hard on it. I will say this, I mean, I'm from here too. You know, I remember my first credit card was a Bon Marché card. So, you know, remember it was the Bon and then it became Macy's. And so I felt, you know, also a little bit of nostalgia about hearing that it was going away. I will say this, we are working very hard to address the very important crime issues, especially with 3rd and Pike and 3rd and Pine. You know, your precinct commander right here, Tom Mahaffey, you know, we're working daily, and he'll tell you he hears from me all the time, who's out there. We're putting emphasis patrols out, bikes out, you know, making sure that we, you know, flood the area, working with the DSA and MID and every other organization that we can to try to have, you know, it's not going to be one size fits all. So we have to have collaboration. We don't have enough cops to stick them, you know, 40 cops on every corner every day. So we're going to have to find ways to work with the business owners, the residents, and everything else to try to address some of the crime issues. And one of the reasons we put people down there, extra patrols, because even though crime was down in the area, and I said that, and people almost, you know, took me off the stage, but I'm just looking at the data. It's down in the area, but the assaults were up. So even though overall crime was down, that particular area was up. And I can probably attribute that to, you know, people with unpredictable behavior, we'll put it that way. So we added more officers down there specifically to address some of those issues. One of the reasons also that we're lobbying for mental health providers and other, because some of the crime issues, there's an intersection there with you know, mental health. I walk through that area all the time because I do hear the complaints. And I do hear that people are fearful in some ways. So I make it a point to go through myself. So, you know, please believe me when I say that we're paying as close attention, adding as many resources as we can. We have these, you know, really high profile incidents that occur, but we're a major city. You know, we're going to have these things are going to happen on occasion, but it's how we respond to them. We had a shooting in the Westlake Tunnel where I used to catch the bus every day, but we caught that person in like 2 days' time.
My question has to do with the statistics that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And first, I also want to say, like everybody else, I very much appreciate what you and everyone you work with do. I know it's so much more and above and beyond what I would ever be capable of doing. So thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you for that.
With that, I'd like to, you mentioned crime was down 8%. My concern with that statistic is I'm concerned that it's not accounting for things like the dozens and perhaps hundreds of calls that I actually am aware of personally from my building where I live and others that I know of where they've called in and have been refused when they have reported crime happening on Seattle property, and nobody has actually come out about that call. And so what I want to know is the 8% you quote, does that the I imagine that that can't account for all those calls that have been refused or not answered. So
yeah.
That may not, I'm just questioning that. I've been here six generations. I'm a sixth generation Seattleite and I adore this city. I'm just very concerned that not all the numbers are being accounted for that way.
Yeah, well, here's how we count calls for service. People call in to 911, it picks up and it's automated count for the call. So I'm confident, I'll put it that way, that we are counting the numbers correctly. I guess what I would be curious about is you know, what types of calls are being refused? That just, you know, help me out with that.
Open drug use on Seattle property. I remodeled my place 4 years ago, and my contractors called me one time because there were people down on our front lawn shooting up that we did not know that were trespassing, mm-hmm. and they were using illegal drugs openly and writhing around on the lawn and into the streets. And that was just one example. We've had
and people, someone refused. They said we don't. Mm-hmm.
They did. And it happened again and again and again, dozens and dozens of times. And I'm a female of small stature. I will not walk around in a bunch of the city streets downtown where I grew up. And I'm concerned that not all of this is being accounted for. And so the 8% sounds great, and I'm thrilled by that. I just don't think it can possibly, I don't think it's accurate. I'm so sorry. I mean no disrespect.
Listen, I hear a lot worse than that. I'm a cop. Believe you me. That's light. Give me something real. I hear you. I hear your frustration. I mean, a lot of people have those frustrations. You know, I'm happy to circle back. I will tell you, here's what I know. Calls come in to 911. You call right now to 911. Somebody's picking up that phone. I know that. And we actually, just this morning, we had our biweekly, every other week on Wednesday, we have our crime meeting. Just this morning, they were talking about Seattle dispatchers have the highest rate of pickup and call returns than any other place. So I know when you call 911 here, somebody's picking up and taking that call. I'm not sure the nature of your calls. I do know we prioritize calls, you know, just by way of education, priority 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so a priority 1 call is something in progress, like, you know, somebody being assaulted in progress, a rape in progress, a robbery in progress, something like that. You're going to get people flying down there pretty quickly. A priority 4 call, for example, would be a burglary that happened 2 days ago. It's like, I came home and my house is burglarized. Well, we'll get somebody there, but nobody's going to get hurt if we don't get there for another hour or two. So that's a priority 4 call. I know when you're the person on the other end, it feels like, I called, I want them to come here right away, but we do have to prioritize because they have very limited resources.
That's Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best answering questions from the Seattle Rotarians No. 4 at a recent luncheon in downtown Seattle.
Neil Peterson calling in. Thanks for the interview you did with Howard Wright. I thought it was terrific. You asked for some comments or observations. The one that I would make is that I think the human element needs to be emphasized in the strategy for dealing with homelessness. What I mean by that is we've got 11,000 homeless in the Seattle King County area. We've got well over, three-quarters of a million of adults in the area. That means there's something like 50 or 60 or 70 adults to every homeless person. And if 10% of the 60 or 70 would be willing to develop a relationship with each homeless person, I've got to believe that that would have a huge impact. And this is over and above, you know, the centers, the housing, and the other activities that are going on that Howard talked about. I've just got to believe that the lack of or the need for additional relationships has got to be a crucial factor in not only how they're doing in their day-to-day life, whether they're homeless or not, but in their ability to do better if that's what their goal is. So just a thought that there's a human piece of this that I don't think gets emphasized enough, and I think there's a bunch of stuff that we could all do that could be very, very helpful. Hope that's helpful to you. Take care.
Pete Delany is my guest, and Pete Delany is the president of Delany Communications, and he has been practicing in the Seattle area for over 20 years.
I wanted to ask Pete about his view on what we call traditional media, let's say radio and TV, and will they have a place going forward?
So traditional media will still have a major place, and you envision it even getting stronger.
There's still going to be a lead. There's still going to be five W's that started out. There's still going to be a headline. There still will be photos and captions that draw people into articles. You don't see that as much anymore. And partly that is as a result of, again, what I call the technology brotherhood, feeling as though they can pretty much do it all. And second only to that would be management feeling as though their internal people can carry their communications forward. And sometimes they're able to do that, but oftentimes it's not as thorough or as well thought out.
If you were to look at going into business and you could turn back the clock, would you do it again?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, it's been a great experience. I've met some really interesting people. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes as a business person and feel somewhat taken advantage of, small business in particular, from, you know, renting office space downtown and being exploited by brokers to investing in copy machines and leases that go indefinitely and the equipment really doesn't work very well. To utilizing temporary employment agencies that rotate people into your office so you can train them so they can then leave and take a job somewhere else. To, you know, financial advisors who often have their own best interest in mind.
So this is a great deal of experience coming from you, obviously, and lived it. So those will be caution flags for people to consider getting into long-term leases or copy machines, whatever that may be. And that's a very good point. Never thought about temporary agencies per se. I think that, you know, that would be something that people should, you know, really take a close look at, because yes, I think three out of those four, I've done the same thing, you know, and probably the fourth if I really thought about it. But yes, the same things that you get involved in. I've moved out in the midnight two times in offices in expensive downtown and just didn't go right. So that's one of the things I believe in, keeping your overhead really low in the beginning or even forever. I mean, you should really take a look at that. Any other things?
I think the biggest challenge that I had was hiring people. Hire someone, they come in, you train them. 6 months later, they leave and join somebody else that's bigger. I haven't had the situation where they've taken clients necessarily, but, you know, have trained a lot of people for bigger public relations agencies around the Northwest.
Do they ever send you a thank you note?
Never.
Would this be anything that you'd suggest? I'm not reading, trying to put words in your mouth, but perhaps hiring free agents, so to speak, that you don't hire as employees. Is there anything to be said for that?
Well, again, you know, outsourcing in that way, you run the risk of, one, they're not doing a thorough job and meeting your expectations, two, potentially trying to take your clients from you. I think if I were to do it again, I would invite people in to be more equity partners in the enterprise. It's like, you want to join? Great. You know, your piece at the beginning is X percent, and every year you stay with me, it grows higher based on your performance and the revenue that you're generating, either incremental revenue from current clients or bringing in new clients.
What's the future look for Pete Delany?
Well, I see myself growing to become a ghost blogger, a social media content provider. You know, I am done with staff people per se and can apply my experience both as a reporter and as an advocacy journalist on behalf of an organization. I think a lot of CEO level people get into these blog development and things like that and really find themselves at a loss for what's next. So it lasts for 4 to 6 weeks, and then it's like, what do I talk about now?
Well, I hope you now have a little bit more understanding of one of our great marketing professionals in the Seattle area. And as I said at the beginning, he keeps up on everything that is happening in terms of the world of technology. That's Pete Delany of Delany Communications, based in Seattle.
Exercise is an unmitigated failure. We've been pushing exercise in this country for 65 years, and it doesn't work. Diets don't work. Exercise programs don't work. In blue zones, where people are living the longest, they live in environments that every time they go to work, to a friend's house, or out to eat, it occasions a walk. They have gardens, and their houses are deconvenient, their life, so there isn't a button to push for yard work and housework and kitchen work. They're nudged into movement every 20 minutes, and if we want to fight this obesity problem in our country, we'll take the focus off of trying to hound people to exercise more, which doesn't work anyway, even if you went to the gym every day, which people don't. We've got to engineer it back into our lives, and there are ways to do that.
That's Dan Buettner, National Geographic Fellow and founder of Blue Zones, which identifies locations around the world where people live longer and healthier lives.
This is Larry Kaufman, the publisher of the MarketingNW.com website, and we've been running a series that calls on the city of Seattle to take the lead in setting up a control center, much like the NASA control center, that would deal with the problem on a 24/7 basis. It's urgent, not the kind of thing that we can do on a bureaucratic level. I hope you'll check out the website, and I think with all the resources that we have with the Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, that we could get the funding to create something that would truly put Seattle in a leadership position in dealing with the homelessness problem, which is only getting worse.
Well, that's it for today. All the time we have for this edition of Voices of Experience. My thanks to Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best, Pete Delaney, Dan Buettner, and to the listeners who participated in our homeless question of the week. Question for this week coming up: in what areas do you think Seattle is getting better? Homelessness is a big issue, and I think a lot of people in the area believe that has brought down the quality of life over the overall region. But what is better about Seattle in the last year or so? My observation is the tunnel, opened up earlier this year, and I think it is integrating downtown Seattle with the waterfront. So again, where do you think Seattle has improved? Call 425-653-1166. That's 425-653-1166. My name is Paul Casey, your host and producer of Voices of Experience. Have a great rest of the week.